Andrew.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Andrew and I'm an addict. Also your tea person for this meeting, and I know today I've had a really calm day. I've had a really calm day up until about 15 minutes ago when I got asked to do this, and then my heart just started pounding out of my chest, and sat here and I'm just trying to like focus in on what I want to share with you today. And it's kind of funny, I was speaking to my friend Des earlier, and people always say like doing the step work and doing the work that the fellowship gives you pays off, and for the last 2 months I've really kind of avoided doing written work. I got to a part in my life story I really didn't want to write down, and I saw my sponsor last night and he was like, gripped me by the collar, write it, do it. So I just thought, alright, I woke up this morning, spent an hour on it, and then I thought, right, I'm going to put that to the side, and I started going through letters. I'm the kind of, I've weighed a lot of stuff, so I've found this bag of letters, and I started tearing them open. They're probably from about 2 years ago, where I just used to be using and avoiding everything, and it was piling up, and I opened one of them, and there's a check in there for like a good bit of money, and I was just like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, I do a bit of step work, try and clean up my wreckage of my past, and like I get a little gift, and I'm not promising that that happens to everyone when you do step work, but that's a gift that I got today. And so yeah, I'm to be really honest with you, I'm what, nearly a year and three months in, and this time I've just thrown myself in. My story isn't one of that I came in and I wanted to be a saint and do everything perfectly, and it lasted for so long. And I couldn't keep it up, and I relapsed, and I relapsed hard, and I serial relapsed for about a year and a half. I just kept going out, and I wanted it. I had the best intentions. When I woke up in the morning, I don't want to do this again. But by the time it got to 11 o'clock at night, I was on my way to the dealers, and that was with a meeting and with fellowship around me. And by the end of it, it just felt like a possession, basically. I felt like I was being possessed. I would do a meeting, go and meet my friends, and as I was driving home, I would just divert from my house and end up at the dealer's house. Where did it get to? Some of my friends from the fellowship would have to stay on the phone to me. About a year and 3 months ago, I'd stay on the phone to my friends as I was driving home on hands-free, wasn't illegal. So I'd be on the phone and they'd like, have you taken the left off the A40 yet? And I'd be like, yeah, I've just taken it. And they'd be like, are you at your door yet? Yeah, I'm at my door. And they'd have to like guide me into my house, because I never realized how powerful this is. And I took it for granted when I did get clean the first time. I really took it for granted. And I thought, this is all right, I've done this, it's easy. And it's far from easy. Where am I? Yesterday was a hard day for me. My cousin, my baby cousin, she's 21, she passed away 6 months ago. And her big sister's been having a really hard time. We tried to get her into the fellowship, or I tried to show her about the fellowship before my baby cousin even died. And for the last 6 months, she's been having a really, really hard time. And now she's grieving and she's got addiction. So it's just like two things that like justify each other. And her mum phoned me yesterday morning, and to be honest with you, I was quite in shock. All I've done is come to meetings and stay clean, and now my auntie's phoning me on what should she do about my cousin. It's like, I can be there, like I can actually be there. And so I phoned my cousin, and she was a mess as we are, and I got her to a meeting, and there's some beautiful people from the fellowship who took her number, and they said, and she's gonna go to a meeting tomorrow morning on her own without me, because I know I can't drag her for it. She has to do it for herself. But that's what I love about this fellowship, like the amount of love that is in this room. I know a lot of you, but I don't know a lot of you. And I know when I see someone in pain and they're reaching out, I'll do my best. And I just see it all around, and it's just a beautiful thing. Where am I going with this? My intentions are always good. I've always had the best intentions, but I couldn't always follow through with what I said I wanted to do. And what I'm noticing is this is giving me the strength to follow through with what I say, turn up. Maybe not bang on time, but I turn up and yeah, life is just getting so good. I can't say I've been relieved of obsession yet. I've heard that some people are when they come and do the work. I haven't. Like, basically my addiction's just moved from drugs to anything else it can get its claws into. So it's like I put down all the drugs that I used to take, and it'll go into the gym, or it'll go into work, or it'll go into, it'll pick anything. It'll get into a relationship, and it'll just obsess. And I'm trying to cope with that, and deal with it. And it just feels like that game whack-a-mole. That's where I'm at the moment. But I know that's okay. And I know as long as in today that I don't pick up, and I get my head on a pillow and I talk to someone and I just try and be as honest as I can, I'm gonna be all right. And I'll bring you back to when I was talking to my cousin yesterday. It reminded me of how I was before I found a fellowship. And she was turning around to me and she was saying, for one minute she was saying, I wanna die. And then the next minute she was saying, well, I wanna drink still. So I want to stop doing everything. So it's like, I want to be able to socially drink, and I'm looking like, shit. She's like, can I go to rehab, come back and socially drink? And I'm like, oh, like, I know it though. They're like, you don't, when I was coming in here, I didn't want to stop smoking weed, to be really honest. I thought, right, I'm going to put everything else down. And when I first got in, I was like, yeah, I was smoking a little spliff every night when I got home, and I was like, I'm clean. I'm not doing the rest of the stuff, and my life's better. But I was still shutting down every single feeling, and I'm actually really glad I relapsed so many times and I smashed myself to bits so much, because there is no question whether I can take drugs. I'm good. I'm not good at taking drugs, basically. I'm not good at it, no matter how much I wanted to lie to myself and say, yeah, I'll drink you under the table, or yeah, I can smoke weed, and yeah, I can get drugs at this time of night. Really, at 34 years old, that's not really that cool. And it was like I was deluded, like, because my elders and because people made it seem like a really cool thing, but it didn't have the same reaction in their body that it does in mine. And they couldn't see me at the end of the night when I was like locking the door and I was putting things up against my door because I was so paranoid. And I was going into, like, I was shaking, sitting by myself doing drugs in the dark, scared to open the windows. That's what no one on the outside saw, but that's what I know. That's why I'm sitting in this room. And yeah, I was, so I came in, I got clean the first time. I worked it, but tried to be perfect. Ended up in America with so many possessions, but totally disconnected. I got to a year and a half, and my sponsor had relapsed, so it was perfect. I could do what I wanted to in recovery, clean. I was making music and things were going well, and I had a load of little material toys, and they were keeping me, I thought, okay for a while. But I when I went to America, there was I didn't connect with any fellowship. I locked off everyone, and I thought I would try and reinvent myself as this new person. And I lasted, I give myself credit, I lasted 2.5 months without taking drugs. I done all right, like, that's all right. In a load of defects that I didn't know I had, I done all right, but acknowledged. But eventually, about like the 20th or the 30th party I went to, and a pretty girl offered me coke, I took it. And yeah, relapsed, ruined the opportunity that I had with this really lovely guy who brought me over there. And came back to England and thought, right, I'm just gonna tap back into the fellowship. I know I can do this, I'll just do it again. And I didn't realize how difficult it was to just come in and get clean time again. And spent a year getting like 30 days, 90 days, 60 days, 6 days, 2 days, like 16 hours. It just got ridiculous. And basically it got to the point where every resource, my family stopped talking to me. I lost my car. I kept my flat, but I lost my spirit. I lost everything. I phoned someone from a fellowship in Weston-super-Mare, and he said, do you know what, drop everything, come down. So I got to Weston-super-Mare. I spent 2 weeks there, and basically I bought a skateboard, and I woke up in the morning, I skated up and down Weston-super-Mare Pier Beach, And I went back and I wrote step work, and I just wrote and wrote, and I got back to London and just totally committed myself to this and just threw myself in. I've been doing 90 and 90 for the last year and 3 months, and to be honest with you, I kind of like it. Like, I love all my friends in the fellowship. I love all the people that I hang around. I love my life. I got last year just in doing 90 and 90 all year, I got to travel around Europe. I laughed more than I've laughed in the last 5 years. My flat's decorated, wearing new trainers, even though that doesn't make recovery. I know that, but it's nice to have them on my feet, because I'd have definitely sniffed those. So what, 2 weeks ago, I managed to, when I was using, I brought my laptop. I had a brand new Mac laptop. It's not material, but I just want to show you the kind of where this has taken my life. And I went into Cash Converters and I was like, look, give me £200 for a grand and a half of machinery of laptop, and I'll be back in a week and I'll give you back that £200. Best intentions. And I couldn't make that money back up because I kept using it. And I got there the day after I was meant to get there with the money, and he had sold my computer. And I picked up a huge resentment against Cash Converters and the guy, and I was shouting at him. But that's his job, right? That's his job. But I blamed him for selling my computer. And it's taken a year and 3 months, but I just got my laptop back. And it's like, I don't know what to do with it anymore. But it's just nice and it's pretty. And I know that if I use again, I lose all these nice little gifts that I get. And not only that, apart from all the material, I've got friends that I can rely on. I can phone up. Some of them I can't phone after 11 o'clock at night because they've got rules down and they've got boundaries and that. But I can phone them. I talk to my family. I'm there for my cousin. Like, the list goes on and on and on. So if you've been in this room and you've been clean a long time, thank you so much for staying clean and showing me that it's possible, and doing the work and being there for me when I walked in battered. And if you've just walked into the room, just stay and give it a chance. The dealers that I used to go to are still there doing the same thing and spending all your money. So to be honest with you, this is just a win for me. I surrendered to win. So I read that in Just For Today this morning. So thank you. I'll leave it there.
Thank you.